الله الرحمن الرحيم. In this chapter, we must be very careful that we don't bring new things into our deen. Innovations, bid'ah, they have been condemned very strongly. We read the ayat of the Quran with regard to that, and the first hadith as well. Further, in the explanation of this first hadith, it comes to the significance of this hadith can be deduced from the recommendation of Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh that it be memorized, taught, and spread so that unfounded practices may be eradicated. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, a great stalwart and a great imam of hadith and of deen, he says that he recommends that the hadith should be memorized by everyone, and it should be taught to everyone, and its message should be spread to everyone. In other words, it is so important that everyone be on his guard, that no new things come into our deen. That the original deen, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us, that we stick firmly to that. Further, in addition, according to Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayhi, this is regarded as one of the principles and laws of religion. Another very great alim, Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayhi, puts down this hadith as one of the principles and laws of religion. That is, of so many teachings of Islam, but of the basic principles and laws, he refers to this hadith, that don't bring new things into our deen. At-Tuti, rahmatullahi alayhi, stated that this hadith may be regarded as half of the proofs of the Shariat. Another very great alim says that this hadith, it can be regarded as half of all the proofs that we have in our Shariat. So this hadith has a very great and high position in our deen. And all the crux of this hadith is that don't bring new matters into our deen, stick to the original and deen which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam brought. However, there is another important aspect also of this that we should also consider, especially as laymen. And that is a new practice that was not prevalent during the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, does not oppose the principles of Islam and fail and falls within the scope of the laws of the Shariat, will not be regarded as an innovation. If there are any new things in deen which are not against any ayat of the Quran, any teachings of a hadith, in fact they help to promote the Quran and hadith, then those things will not be regarded as innovation. But this is not for me and for you to judge, for ordinary laymen, small fries like us. This is for the great ulama and the great mufti who will decide on this matter. That we see it comes in the hadith. Man sanna sunnatan hayya hasanatan fi Islam. A person who starts a good practice in Islam, he gets the reward of practicing on it, and all who follow and practice on it also get the rewards. A few examples are given, we will see just now. Rather, it may be even compulsory or desirable to adopt sometimes the new practices. So which are those new practices which are good and which are bad? So these new practices, sometimes it will be compulsory to have them, and sometimes it will be desirable to have those new practices. But on the other hand, new practices, generally the rule is they are not allowed in Islam. But which are those which are not only desired, but are compulsory also? Examples of this include printing of Islamic literature. Islamic literature, as we have it, the same kitab we are reading now. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there weren't kitabs like this. All these ahadith were on the tongues of the people, memorized and in their hearts. Today, if we still have to maintain that, perhaps no hadith will remain, because our memories, how much we can retain and how much we preserve deen is very, very little. In their time, they were all the time given for deen, they lived for deen. and he practiced and he had halkas of ta'aleem. Today if we do away with all the kitab, that the kitab, in fact, as mentioned here, the Quran Sharif was also not a printed kitab as we have it today. If we don't have the Quran Sharif like that, the Quran Sharif won't remain. Our deen won't remain. But this is not for us to decide. This is for the great ulama and the great muftis. Usage of sophisticated weaponry. The usage of weaponry today. It wasn't in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the times of weapons, the types of weapons that are being used today. Today if an army fights against the enemy and just comes with the bow and arrow, then what will happen? So all that has to be decided. This new, there are certain things which are not only desirable but are compulsory to have. Construction of Islamic institutions, the Darul Ulooms we have, our maktabs that we have, they weren't like this madrasas and organized like this as we have it. They are all built on the principle of Suffa, which was the Darul Uloom and the Khanqa of Medina Sharif. They are built on those principles, but they were not as we have got them today. They didn't have a 6-7 year alim course, for example. They didn't have the kitabs and the syllabus as we have it today. This was not there. So somebody stands up today and says this is all bid'ah and we must do away with it. We won't have any ulama. We won't have anyone to guide us then. So all we have to understand deen properly. Not just a lopsided side of deen. We just take one side and we only hold on to that. We have to see deen completely. Writing of the Quran text in a book form and the form Zahir. The Quran Sharif in the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was not in a book form as we have it got it today. But when one occasion, 70 of the Hafizes of the Quran were made Shaheed, at that time Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and other Sahaba came to the Khalifa Hazrat Abu Bakr, and then it was a big discussion and a long discussion, and the depths and the ins and outs of it all were discussed to have the Quran, have it formed in one book form. Till then it was not in one book form. It was just in the hearts of the people, and the Quran Sharif was kept written on various other things. But it wasn't a book form like this. But today, and from the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, had it not been compiled in a book form, then perhaps we should have lost the Quran Sharif. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has promised to preserve it. And this preserving it in a book form like this is part of that preservation of Allah Ta'ala. So all this, we have to consider that. And also, as the Salafis usually, they argue the point that there were no Hanafis and Shafis in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today, if we don't have the form Mazahib, then deen will also be lost. The form Mazahib and these great people and those who have studied it and know the value and how they made deen and they brought it in the fiqh form as we have got it today. If that was not the case, then people will just be following their whims and fancies. They won't have any direction in life. So that was also absolutely necessary. And the great, great ulama of that time all sanctioned it and accepted it, the four mazhabs as we have got them today. The Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, and Hanbali mazahib, that also is not a bid'ah. As the Salafis say that this is also a bid'ah, it's a new thing. It wasn't in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to get the proper understanding, a person needs the deep knowledge. And whoever studies this fairly, he will see clearly that it is 100% correct and it is 100% in its place. The root and foundation of each of these can be backed by a Quranic verse or prophetic practice. And these are not regarded as innovations. those innovations which are condemned, all these types and others also, they are not regarded as that and neither are they condemned. So we also must be careful that we don't just condemn every new practice. And we must be careful, we who haven't got any real knowledge of deen, it's not for us to decide. A person and those ulama and fuqaha who have got a deep understanding of deen, they will be able to see and decide on these matters. And this what the fuqaha will be able to decide for us is also the barakat of the four mazahib, of fiqh, and how to extract masala from Quran and Hadith, and how to be careful that one does not transgress the bounds. He remains within his limits, and he preserves deen also, as deen will not change, but times change. The world has changed, and deen will fit in everywhere, and it is the ulama of every era who will be able to make those adjustments and make sure that deen fits in every era. Today we are in the 14th century, Islamic 15th century, and the English 21st century. Only Allah still knows how long the world will still be, but Islam will fit in at all times, in all places, all times, all circumstances. So this is the work of those great ulama who will have the deep knowledge and the principles of deen that will be able to protect deen in its pristine purity and at the same time, according to the times, make deen fit in properly as deen is. Not a changed deen, but the original deen. May Allah Ta'ala open our hearts to understand this and follow our deen properly and have the greatest of appreciation for our great ulama who have preserved our deen and given it to us today as we have got it in the original form. They did not mean for their insight and their foresight. Today we should have been sitting without deen. And like many other Muslim factions, that they have also lost the true deen. Whatever extremes they went to, and they lost the true deen. So Allah Ta'ala reward our great ulama and give us the tawfiq to understand and understand from our great ulama our true deen. And may Allah protect our iman in Islam and take us when He takes us with perfect iman in Islam.